You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CyberWire's Research Saturday. I'm Dave Bittner, and this is our weekly conversation with researchers and analysts tracking down threats and vulnerabilities, solving some of the hard problems of protecting ourselves in a rapidly evolving cyberspace. Thanks for joining us.
We encountered the malware during research for customer purposes. And as we started to investigate what is this new malware and what is going on here.
That's Yonatan Stream Amit. He's CTO and co-founder at Cyber Reason. The research we're discussing today is titled Back to the Future, Inside the Kintsugi KGH Spyware Suite. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
We uncovered that A, it was part of the likely associated with Kintsugi, so it's likely their activity. And B, represents a new technology, a new block of intelligence built by the Kintsugi team.
Well, let's go through the research together. Can you start off by giving us a little of the background here? What's some of the history when it comes to the Kintsugi group?
Absolutely. Kintsugi is a fascinating group, often considered to be officially working for the North Korean government, or at the very least affiliated with them. Their purpose is clearly political. They're historically been targeting mostly actors, mostly targets within the peninsula, talking about everything from think tanks and South Korean officials and similar groups relating to the South Korea-North Korea relationship. So as we're tracking them over the last couple of years, we're seeing the Kintsugi group transition from what originally was a very localized within the peninsula, looking at political targets, whether these are human rights activists or think tanks or South Korean institutions for defense analysis and education. And we've seen them expanding their reach towards new targets that are serving political goals for the North Korean government, everything from the global think tanks, human rights organization, and government research institutes, journalists have covered the area, and recently also companies working on COVID-19 and COVID-related research.
Well, one of the things that you point out here in your research is the complexity of their infrastructure. Can you give us a description of what's going on when it comes to that aspect?
Kintsugi is adopting a relatively complex modern infrastructure, everything from creating of fake websites across various entities, using compromised assets that have legitimate history, compromising them, using them as jump boxes and command and control centers. Infrastructure from a code perspective, software that they developed that is able to become very complex and mature spy kits, what's known in the industry as RATS, remote access toolkits, which basically give the operators of those tools complete control of every machine they're hitting. So it starts with a phishing campaign, most often delivered as a form of document, an attachment to an email talking about political changes in the area or, you know, groups or talks in the area or this particular case, relationship with Japan and the Japanese prime minister, hoping that victims will end up executing that document and exploiting the vulnerabilities inside to then take over their machines and start collecting data from their environments. They are using infrastructure that is dedicated and has been registered as recently as early 2020. So it's a very active campaign, and using various techniques to try to hide and evade their detection across the assets that they may have access to.
Now, one of the things that you speak of here in your research is the way that they
use anti-forensics. You mentioned backdating or time stomping is how you refer to it. Can you take us through some of that?
Absolutely. One of the tricks they did here, which was interesting, is backdating the software or time stomping the software. So it appears to have been created many years ago, 2016, 2015, in that area. The motivation for that is often to confuse researchers when they try to look at the sea of information that they have available for them and trying to tell apart the wheat from the chaff and understanding what's worthwhile. A lot of time, if something has been known and existing for a long time, it's very likely it does not exhibit new behaviors. This trick about time stomping is really their attempt to evade the researcher's attention, thinking, oh, this is old and established. We don't need a reason to read that. However, when you start decomposing the other assets, whether it's code or servers on the internet or new domain names that they use for communication, you quickly realize that all of them are relatively recent. Late 2019 to the past couple of months in 2020, you realize this is just an attempt to throw people out of their scent and not the real creation of this malware.
Now, they're using a malware suite that is called KGH. What's going on with that?
I don't have any interesting insight on the name itself. The string KGH comes from within the malware itself. So somebody in their build environment used the word KGH there. We do see, due to some operational mistakes on their end, that they have leaked a bit of information on how they're doing. So the project that was used to build this is called KGH. We know that because the malware itself, the authors of the malware left some clues accidentally, most likely, in the malware that it was compiled within a spy framework. And this is a KGA browser exploitation toolkit. It's a part of a known toolkit for them. The word KGH has been known and associated by North Korean and Kim Suki group in the past, all the way from 2017 research by OnLab, which is a great South Korean-centered research entity and vendor. It's very likely that they've made similar mistake of leaking that information on KGH multiple times.
And they're making use of Word documents as well?
Absolutely. One of the critical ways they deliver the malware is by sending a phishing emails to their targets. The phishing emails have subjects such as interview with a North Korean defector. This would have a relatively high activation rate when they send it to various South Korean targets as well as think tank globally. If you had received an email, if the North Korean South Korean relationship would have been something that you deeply care about, the think tank in the area, and you had received an email of a boutique interview, you are more likely to open this. So the psychological element of this attack are targeting with phishing content that is generated towards those targets. For example, for other targets, they use the interview with Prime Minister of Japan and as a way to encourage people to open this data.
Well, take me through the various functionalities that they're installing here, the bits of software. I mean, there's a lot of different things that are in play here.
Absolutely. The KGH spy and the Kim Suki kit we discovered here is a previously unknown kit that gives the operator basically unfettered control of your environment. It starts with many of anti-malware evasion, so to get to execute with what's known as a fileless malware, so it doesn't actually have to drop multiple items on the disk, and evasively execute its code on the machine. Once it's running, it is establishing connection back to the operator on the command and control channels through various assets on the internet that they have already, ahead of time taken control of, and gives the operators control of the environment. That could be things like recording audio. That could be things like stealing information from your browser, credentials, software. It includes recording your keys as you type passwords or addresses. They can steal those information. Taking screenshots, installing your software, and basically really doing anything as if they were physically sitting in the computer right now on their own.
Now, another thing that you all have tracked here is a new downloader that you all have named C-Spy, I believe?
Yes. So C-Spy, again, is able to... It's part of a modular approach to malware authoring. What they send initially isn't the full malware. They only send a small beacon whose purpose is, once executed, is to reach out through the internet and download the rest. The purpose of this has always been about smaller delivery and evasion. If this data is not executed, nothing is lost for them. But once it's executed, it starts a cascading effect of downloading more and more content from the internet in order to give the operators of this malware more control. This is a common technique by malware author, but shows a level of sophistication in building new detection capabilities and new deployment capabilities for them. It's kind of the way in which you can equate that to a software vendor writing for you as a very small installer, as a beacon that then goes back and understands and downloads the rest of the payload.
And C-SPY itself has some anti-analysis techniques built into it.
C-SPY itself has a few built-in evasion techniques into it, indeed. It starts by actually using a signed certificate. This appears to be a signed software. Signed signatures use a lot of time in the industry to verify authenticity of software. However, in this particular case, the certificate they used is by, of course, a different company called EGIS, which, of course, did not have anything to do with the malware itself. It was simply stolen from them and then used to sign the malware as executed. The certificate itself has been revoked, which means it is known globally that this is stolen and is no longer should be trusted. However, many systems are not able to correctly qualify and classify stolen signatures as being fake, and that's one of the evasion techniques that it's using. The second is about the usual packing, hiding of data, checking whether it's running on a virtual machine to SWOT analysis, checking whether the memory looks as though it's running within a testing environment used by researchers. This content of the malware itself is encrypted, so the software, the C-SPY software itself, decrypts itself as it's executing. So the cursory look by anybody but a very experienced reverse engineer is unable to find all of this, and any trace of this is being malicious. All of these tricks are targeted towards both thwarting automated analysis, but also making it very difficult for researchers that take them downloaded to really understand what's going on there.
So what are the take-homes for you? What are the things of note that people need to be aware of when it comes to Kintsugi?
We're seeing Kintsugi as a very active group, currently working really towards political agendas within for the North Korean government. The operation that they execute are meant to further what is right now top of mind for the political leadership in the area. Unlike other North Korean groups who often dabble with financial related activities in order to fund some operation, Kintsugi looks to be purely an intelligence operation. And as such, they are very capable. They're increasing their sophistication, their abilities. They're still relying on the tried and true methods of entering through phishing and entering through user mistakes to get access for it. And therefore, the first thing, of course, is to remember basic IT hygiene and training around what do you open and kind of not falling prey into all of those traps. The other, of course, are adopting a modern endpoint prevention, endpoint security stack that can able to find, detect, and break the Kintsugi attack tools and be vigilant.
Our thanks to Yonatan Stream Amit for joining us. The research is titled Back to the Future, Inside the Kintsugi KGH Spyware Suite. We'll have a link in the show notes. Hey everybody, today I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. The CyberWire Research Saturday is proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of Data Tribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. Our amazing CyberWire team is Elliot Peltzman, Puru Prakash, Stefan Vaziri, Kelsey Bond, Tim Nodar, Joe Kerrigan, Carol Terrio, Ben Yellen, Nick Vilecki, Gina Johnson, Bennett Moe, Chris Russell, John Petrick, Jennifer Iben, Rick Howard, Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.